Hi there, welcome to Victim to Victor, the podcast dedicated to empowering abuse survivors and inspiring healing, hope and positive change. I'm Anu Verma, a published author, and in every episode I'll sit down with a guest and embark on an insightful conversation about trauma as well as practical strategies to start the healing process. So let's get started. I hope you enjoy the show. And with me today, I have Jen Miller, who is the founder of Warrior Heart Wisdom, a holistic healing practice based in Dallas, Texas, where she serves as a healing and transformation guide, intuitive wellness coach, and energy healing specialist to help clients around the globe. She offers a unique and innovative approach to healing that combines the power of modern technology and science with ancient techniques to tap into clients' inner wisdom and expedite their personal transformation and evolution. Jen started her own healing journey after cancer when she was just 18 years old. She has spent almost 19 years since working on her personal healing and transformation, but also learning and studying many modalities. Though she had the deep desire to help others, she knew she had to walk the walk before she could help others do the same. After 15 years on her own journey, she had obtained an extensive knowledge base in many modalities and confidence in her abilities, and was ready to help guide others on their journeys. And here is a wonderful Jen, all the way from Dallas. How are you?
Hi, Anu, I'm doing well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a while. Sorry. As we've discussed already, I've had COVID and it just, yeah, just absolutely wiped me out. So thank you so much for bearing with me.
Of course. Yeah, you know, COVID is a really interesting thing. And as with everything I do, I try to have a positive perspective on it. And I really believe that COVID is here to help people evolve and wake up, to highlight potentially some unhealthy patterns or some unhealthy lifestyle choices that are going on, so that we can grow, we can evolve, we can transcend as a human species.
Oh, I love that. That is such a positive way of looking at the whole pandemic and COVID situation. Because again, you know, you've got the people who have obviously just believed everything that they've read or saw on the media, and then you've got the others who haven't believed anything and they're totally against the vaccines, you know, saying it's going to kill us all. So, oh, I love this. Thank you for bringing that into my, you know, my life, because I think it's about time we had something light to believe.
Yes. Yeah, I try to bring light into that situation. I try to bring light into my life. I try to bring light into my clients' life, into the world in general, because really it is all a matter of how we choose to look at it that really creates our reality. And we'll talk more about that, but you know, it's a purposeful choice.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure my listeners will love to hear this as well. And today I'm really excited to talk to you about your whole journey through cancer and obviously generational trauma, because you're here because you are a survivor. And also the work that you're doing at the moment, the energy work, you're doing a lot, aren't you? The bioenergetic wellness system.
Yes.
Yes. We've got a lot to cover.
Yes, we do. I'm very excited. Yeah. Oh,
fantastic. So tell us about yourself, you know, what, like in terms of your childhood, your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I am one of those that didn't have necessarily the picture perfect childhood, right? As I like to call it, was perfectly imperfect, with some dysfunction that was passed down generationally. You know, the generation before my parents dealt with things like war and different kinds of traumas that they passed down, and there was abuse. And then, right, as we know, generational trauma, they say it goes down 7 generations. And so every generation it's getting watered down, but it's still abuse. And so whereas physical abuse may have been happening the generation before, might turn into emotional abuse and so forth, but it's still abuse. And so, you know, I dealt with some of those leftover generational programming, generational trauma throughout my childhood. And, you know, definitely an element of sickness. So my grandmother had cancer from the time I was born until she passed when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And there was some mental illness in my family as well. And so, you know, I went on trying to deal with all of this as a child in somewhat of a dysfunctional, broken household and family. And over time, it really affected me physically. How I handled the stress of it all didn't manifest well. And so by the time that I was just about 18 is when I was diagnosed with metastasized thyroid cancer. And so I look at that the progression of all of the things, right? Because cancer doesn't just show up one day. It happens over time. And so it's all of the things we're exposed to in our environment, whether it be physical toxins and chemicals, or it be emotional toxicity, emotional abuse, things like that. It affects our physiology, our nervous system. We get stuck in those states of stress. And over time, our immune system gets weak. And really, we just can't handle the stress anymore. And so anyhow, that led me to being 18. I spent my 18th birthday in the hospital getting radiation. Wow. And so being 18 and having cancer, which was a really interesting experience.
That would, whilst everyone else is, you know, at college and getting drunk, you were at hospital.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Yeah.
And yeah. I like the way that you mention it, you have a link between cancer and trauma, because again, you know, not a lot of people do. People just see trauma as something that happens after an accident, or, you know, obviously it's coming to light now that any kind of childhood abuse causes trauma, but cancer causes trauma too.
Yes, cancer, the cancer experience is so traumatic. And it's shocking to me that more people don't make that connection, because here you are, all of a sudden you've been given this diagnosis that you may potentially die. You have this life-threatening illness. Mm-hmm. Most people have to undergo physical procedures. You have to take medications, chemotherapy, radiation. Literally, your body is almost no longer your own. You have people poking you and prodding you and cutting you open and putting chemicals inside of you. And all of the while this is happening, you're dealing with the trauma of, am I going to die, right? The fear, am I going to die? You're having to deal with what that does to your friends and family around you, because it's hard for them, right, to stand by, to see what you're going through, to feel helpless. So you're inflicting these on people that you love. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, there's the people around you who really can't step up to the plate when you need them, that it's too much. And having been 18 with cancer, right, it's a big ask for an 18-year-old friend to step up and help support you through that. So you develop this really different relationship with your body. Sometimes it almost becomes an enemy of yours, right? It's something your body is almost trying to kill you in a way, it feels like, or it's self-destructing. So it's just a very, very traumatic experience. And then if you make it through treatment and you make it through everything you need to do, and then, okay, you're out of it, you're left with, what do I do now, right? How do I go back to living life as this very different person? Because inevitably you are not the same person you were when you started the cancer journey, right? And so it's a really, you're not the same person. You interact with your life differently. So it's a very, very traumatic experience.
It is. Oh boy, absolutely. So you talk a lot about, your personality types, which is type A and type C. And again, and I love that. I love the fact that you've really gone deep into, you know, how the trauma manifested within you. So it'd be great to kind of learn more about that. So, you know, what happened with the cancer? You obviously healed the cancer, right? You got rid of it.
Yeah. So I did go the traditional route and I had surgery and I had radiation. And then what happens is, you've all along had the doctors giving you this plan. This is what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And then you're just done with it. Mm. And you go, okay. And you have what I call sitting duck syndrome, which is a fear of getting sick again, which means you're not living, right? Because you're living in fear. And you have to figure out, okay, this is my belief that there's those deeper reasons. And I wanted to delve in. I wanted to know why, right? Why did this happen to me? Why did I get cancer? So as I started to do research over the years, there's these very typical patterns that you see connected to certain things. And with cancer, it's a suppression of emotions. So the energy of the emotions from whatever has happened in your life, you literally are not able to express them. And as somebody who had thyroid cancer, which is located in the throat, which is the seat of our expression, I very much was not able to express myself, my emotions, my feelings. It was very shut down. And I'm going to just read this about the type C personality. So this was a study done by Dr. Lydia Temoshok that showed that cancer patients who kept emotions such as anger under the surface, remaining ignorant of their existence, had slower recovery rates. Another trait common to these patients was self-denial, stemming from an unawareness of their own basic emotional needs. The immune systems were stronger and tumors smaller for those in touch with their emotions. So that's really where this, what they call type C, cancer-prone personality, comes from, where you are just completely emotionally shut down. And a lot of times we swallow our emotions back down.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. Suppression. And again, I talk about this a lot, about suppression, just especially, you know, being in different cultures and, you know, being a child who probably couldn't really express themselves if they were abused. And it's the biggest cause of trauma and PTSD, the fact that you can't communicate your emotions. And again, you obviously, you know, as an energy worker, you know about the chakras and the blockages. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, when I first went to get some Reiki done, all of my chakras were blocked.
Oh, yeah.
No wonder. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So when you combine that type C personality with, I call myself a recovering type A personality of the overachiever, the overdoer. And I think that this is a product of modern life today, right? We go on social media and we believe, in comparison to others, that we're not enough, we're not doing enough, we have to do more. That nothing is enough, we need to produce more, all of the above, right? So this combination of not being able to express in a type C with a completely overdoing it, basically running yourself to the ground, because that's what happens with that go, go, go type A personality. It really drains the energy resources of the body. Thus, it weakens the immune system. So it all factors in together.
It does. It does. And there's a big link with that when it comes to trauma, because I know that, you know, it was a big link for me, because I was running away from my emotions just by putting myself in work and just overworking and burning myself in other ways and just over traveling. And it's all very type A orientated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I will often work with clients and help them to find an awareness of how are they distracting themselves from the trauma, from the emotions. Is it, like you said, social media? Of course, there's people who go down the route of alcohol and drugs. There's people who do it through shopping, right? Yeah. There's a lot of different ways. And because those are almost glorified, right? Having working so much, having so much money, all that, because it's glorified, we kind of can be blind to the fact that that's what we're even doing, that we're using them as distraction methods. Wow. And even, right, I encourage people to look at even some of the healthier things, right? I know somebody who goes to yoga twice a day, 7 days a week. And even that, right, can be a distraction method, even though it's a positive thing.
Yeah.
It's also not allowing you to find the stillness to go within and heal.
Absolutely. Yes, it's so true. Yeah. So it's like those, it's like coping habits. You know, some people will turn to alcohol and drugs just as a way to escape. Whereas others, like myself, I had a stage in my, you know, during my early 30s when I just needed to be on courses, I just constantly studying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
The overload. I mean, it's good. It's a great coping mechanism because I'm learning, but then running away from the actual issue and not dealing with it.
Yeah. And that ties into that deeper, right? In childhood, how we learn our value system and what our value is. And a lot of people, and I'm one of those, my value was taught to me as being production based, right? Not just in being me, but in what I produce, what I do, how good are my grades, what kind of college do you get into? What kind of job do you get? What kind of, right? All of the things, very doing production based. And that wires us to not even sometimes know how to slow down.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, you know, when it comes to actually, you know, sitting there and reflecting on your life, that's when the awareness comes in. And I guess this is where meditation is so important as well.
Oh, yes. I am a avid learner, and I love to read modern things on neuroscience and, you know, technology. I love to read ancient texts, and so many of them all have that common thread, which is meditation. And I think it can be a really overwhelming experience for people who go from moving 100 miles a minute to then have to go to zero, right? And what I do try to coach people through is that process of little by little learning how to calm the body, how to calm the nervous system, you know, how to do meditation in a way that works for you, and eventually work towards a more traditional meditation practice.
Oh, beautiful that. Yeah, and we'll go into a lot of your work shortly, but I'm still intrigued because when it comes to your life and, you know, all of it that you struggled, it wasn't only the cancer that you struggled from, was it? After that, you also had some more trauma.
Yeah, I mean, I dealt with, you know, when the cancer ended, it wasn't as if the trauma ended then. Mm. Right. And this isn't often the case. That's when the real healing begins. And that's when other things started to surface, and, you know, emotional abuse from different people in my life and some family members. Right. And looking at how that played into my health, you know, and having to make the hard decisions of choosing myself and my health over potentially some people in my life or relationships in my life. And seeing the effects, there's the post effects of having the trauma as well, of the fear of dying and everything that goes with that, that kept me in a trauma cycle and a trauma loop in my body, right? Because there's the pathways between the body, the mind, the emotions, all of that. And I was stuck in a trauma cycle. And so, you know, that's when the work really started, was figuring out how to get out of that cycle.
Oh, wow. And how old were you at that point?
I really started that in my mid-20s. Is when I really started to look at things and say, okay, what I'm doing isn't working. How I'm functioning as a person is not leading me to a healthy life experience filled with joy and vitality and all of that, right? So I went on this journey that took me many, many years of trying different modalities, trying different things, learning different modalities, really figuring it out. I was a combination between like a mad scientist, a mad healing scientist, and Sherlock Holmes, of wanting to understand, why is it that I'm the way that I am? Why am I struggling with these things so much? Why do I have terrible anxiety? Why do I have ongoing depression? Why do I have, you know, whatever it might be, why am I like this? And so that really has been what I call my life's work, was discovering and exploring and trying and experimenting and figuring out. And then all of a sudden, all of the dots started to connect together. What was happening? What was shifting? Why was it there? The pieces of what was there?
Yeah. Oh, wow. That, and yeah. I love that, because again, it's such an awakening. And I know probably the same with you, but you know, it's like you uncover one layer and that's traumatic in itself, mm-hmm. because you're just releasing so much. And then suddenly about a couple of years later, another layer gets released.
Yes.
But I mean, it is like, for me, it was so traumatizing, but then it was also so liberating as well. So at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we have held in our trauma for so long, there is a process of needing to let it come out. You know, where we want to make sure that we're supported in doing it is so that we don't get re-traumatized in letting go of our trauma, right?
Yeah.
Having skills and people to support us are really important, because it's like the proverbial onion. You peel one layer back and then you go to the next layer and so forth, because, you know, we can't do it all at once, thankfully.
Exactly.
It's system overload, but little by little, if we, you know, make that intention and we're seeking an elevated life experience, a happier life experience, little by little, we work through
absolutely
all the different layers of the trauma. And, you know, and it weaves into the fabric of our being in so many different ways. As I mentioned before, our physical body, the tissues, our organs, our nervous system, our belief system, and our mind, our mental habits, the way that we speak, right? It weaves into so many aspects of our being.
Ah, yeah. And I love the fact that you've tried a lot of modalities out there, because it'd be great to understand, you know, what you felt was the most effective strategy for you.
So what I really, and yes, I, if somebody told me that this could help me, I was like, okay, I will try anything and everything, right? What did I have to lose? Exactly. Except maybe some trauma, some cancer causing things, yeah, et cetera. So, that's really what brought me to my practice and how I work with people, because what I started to realize is, and effectively what I had been doing as I was healing myself, is I was really reprogramming. It's very easy to get stuck in the why and the story of what happened, right? And we can get stuck in it, and it can replay in our mind and a mental loop and the emotions that we experience. And we actually can have something called emotional addiction down to our cells. Our cells start craving certain emotions. So we can get stuck in the story of what happened to us, even if we're not consciously aware of it. Our body can be stuck in it. Our mind can be stuck in it. So in effect, what I had been doing all along the way was reprogramming the different pathways in my body, in my mind, in my emotions, and that connected all of those together to move me out of the trauma, to move me out of the trauma story. Because it's very hard for us, and I get this because I was there for a long time, to know that I will never know why, and there will never be an answer or a justification or an explanation, and I simply have to walk the other way.
Wow, that is amazing. So what happened then? How did you start your own healing practice?
Yeah, so little by little, as I was healing myself, I trained in different modalities. And the first one, as you had mentioned, was Reiki. Mm-hmm. And I went on to be a Reiki master. I actually was part of a team that set up doing Reiki in a hospital for cancer patients. So it was an amazing initiative to be part of. But little by little, I trained in all different modalities because, you know, as I feel like I'm driving it home, when we want to transform and we want to move out of a state of trauma and into a state of wellness, we have to look at it holistically, right? Along the way, I started just working on my physical body, which was very helpful, but it only got me 30% there. And then I started doing things on my, with my mind, and that got me that much further. Right. And then I started doing other things and other things. But when we take this holistic view, right, and we approach all these different angles together collectively, that's when you really start to see some shifting with the transformation that you're undergoing, kind of expediting it, so to speak.
Oh, okay. And you're also into horse therapy, because you see horses as being real healing. They're just fantastic mammals, aren't they, for healing?
So all animals are healing, right? I believe I say that my dog is my, my undercover emotional support dog. He really is, right? Animals are so amazing and so pure, but horses, and this we'll talk about it in a bit, goes back to goes to heart math, which is one of the techniques I use with clients. But horses are naturally in what's called a perfect state of coherence. And coherence is when all of the systems of our body, our respiratory system, our blood pressure, our nervous system, all the systems are working cohesively. And we generally experience this as a state of calm and balance, right? That is horses' innate state, is being in that state of coherence. And so when you work with horses in a certain way, and I've done retreats where we've done equine or horse therapy, and it's really incredible. Horses will shift you into a state of coherence. And so when I was growing up, I used to ride horses. What I didn't realize about why I loved them so much and I loved being near horses was because in all of the craziness, they were putting me into a state of coherence, right? Putting my body back into that state of balance.
Wow. Yes. And I hear so much about it now. We have like a trauma center here in the UK. And again, they have horses for that reason.
Yeah. They're magical, special, powerful beings.
Oh, that is amazing. So anyone who's got a pet or loves horse riding, just keep at it, sisters and brothers.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Even the act of, you know, petting the animal and the horse, right? One of the techniques that they'll do in equine therapy is doing that mindfully, right? So closing your eyes as, right, you make contact with the animal and feeling the sensation of the animal hair or the fur, depending on what animal you're with, right? And really, because what we start to do, and we do this with other people, we just may not realize that we start to sync up. Our heart rates start to sync up. Our breathing patterns start to sync up. This is what happens between a mother and a baby, right? This part of the connection. And so we can use that as a way to regulate our own state of being.
Okay, that's interesting. And I guess when it comes to animals and children, babies, they've all got pure souls, right?
Yeah.
And I know that's got something to do with it.
Yeah. And, you know, I believe that we all have pure souls, right? We all do. We're all beautiful beings. Sometimes we've just been through difficult things in life. traumatic things in life that we're still carrying with us that we need to do some reprogramming on, some letting go of, yeah, to get back to that beautiful soul, purity, right? Get clouded. And I say really in all the work I do with people is to have them return to their true self that is perfect and beautiful and full of light.
Yeah, I love that. And I could just envision it as well. It's like, you know, we're all born with this amazing beaming soul, you know, and then as life goes on, it probably loses its light a little bit, gets a bit shaded, and then then you realize, oh, you know, I've got some stuff to deal with, and then it's about trying to you know, get rid of that dimmer and make it shine more brighter, and that's where the healing work comes in.
Yeah, because in especially when you are in the trauma and when the trauma is ongoing, right? It's one thing if you have a car accident and it ends, and that's very traumatic or can be. But it's another thing if you have ongoing trauma and you can feel very, very disconnected from your own self, your own essence, as I like to call it, your beautiful soul. And it is, it's not a reviving because it's still there, but it's a reconnection to it.
Okay. Oh, wow. And so tell us about your, because you've got some amazing systems on board, haven't you? So you've got your NES bioenergetic wellness system, the HeartMath biofeedback device. Wow. Tell us about this. Let's get sciencey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love when science meets spirituality. Mm. This is when I really start to geek out on everything because I think that these two things go together amazing. Instead of being the antithesis, let's use them together. Yeah. So yes, in the work I do, we're empowering, you know, somebody to reconnect with their self, to bring awareness to their own patterns, physical, mental, emotional, otherwise. But we can use technology to help us with this process, and it can even help expedite this process, which is amazing. Wow. So the first one you mentioned is the NES bioenergetic technology. And what this does is it scans your, what they call human biofield, the human body field. And that's what might be called the electromagnetic field, right? We all have, we're electric and we're magnetic beings, and we all have this. It's measurable. So what this technology does is it scans it and then it compares it to the optimal human body field. And it's a matching algorithm to determine where your body field is not functioning, right, properly, where it's not functioning optimally. And this is looking at our energetic system of the body. So it'll show us everything from, are you getting enough energy from the major sources like the sun, food, water, movement, right? All of that. It'll show us, are there blockages in the pathway? Because energy follows a pathway through the body. And for those of you that are familiar with traditional Chinese medicine and the acupuncture meridians, right? There's that pathway that energy flows. And this technology actually has proven that those pathways and expanded upon them. So it looks at where is the blockage. And as you were saying, when you first got Reiki and all your chakras are blocked, it's showing us where their blockage is at, and not just in the main energy centers that run down the spine, but different organs at all different parts of the body. It also looks at the power. Do we have the power to move energy through the body? Where may we not have that power? Because again, it's not just if there's energy and if it's flowing, but it needs power to go. And then it looks at also traumas that are still vibrating in our field, right? Because when we experience trauma and it hasn't been processed, it lives within us. It lives in our fascia, our connective tissue. It lives, you know, in our mind. It lives within our being. And so this is able to see traumas that are still operating in the field. So it's looking at, you know, how all of that is connected and some of the deeper patterns. So for example, when I first started working with this technology, of course, I always am the guinea pig first. And what showed up on a scan was about, there was a blockage with my pancreas. So that meant my pancreas wasn't getting enough energy like it was supposed to. The pancreas, if you look in traditional Chinese medicine, is connected to how you manage your life. Are you doing too much? Are you not allowing for balance and for what they say, sweetness in your life, right? And as a recovering type A, that's very much something that I struggle with. But until that point, I couldn't see it. I really wasn't able to see that pattern. So what this does is it gives us a lot of really wonderful information as to where do we need to focus on, what is being affected in our body, residual patterns, residual trauma. You know, I've had everything in terms of the trauma. I had a client do a scan and he was so blown away. It showed up, choking was the trauma that showed up for him. Yeah. And it was maybe a month or so before we did the scan that he said he was at a restaurant and he started to choke to death and had to have the Heimlich maneuver. He was so blown away. And so it's really incredible. These scans, the scan gives us a behind the scenes look, a different perspective as to what's going on to help guide that process of healing. Because, you know, when we are blocked and when there is fear to connect into the trauma, or the subconscious has blocked us from going there to protect us, we do want a look into, okay, what am I not seeing? I call them our blind spots.
Okay, yeah. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That is good. And so how about the neuro reset program? Is that obviously once you've figured it out and you've healed,
you've
reset yourself?
I mean, the name implies it. And it's more than just neuro resetting. It really is a comprehensive resetting or reprogramming of those pathways. And that's where the NEST scan helps us figure out, okay, what do we need to work on reprogramming? The other technology I'd mentioned is HeartMath. And HeartMath specifically helps us with resetting our stress response. So this involves our nervous system. It involves how we handle stress, right? We can get stuck in what's called the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight, flight, freeze response. After extended exposure to stress, that can literally become our new baseline state. We may not be in 100% in a state of full rage or anxiety all the time, but we might be in at 10%. And over time, this depletes us, right, of energy, of our immune system functioning properly. And so HeartMath uses what's called a biofeedback device. It's just this little device you hook onto your ear and it shows you your heart rate variability. It shows you your level of coherence. And that's basically to say it shows you what's happening in your nervous system, in your stress response. Because a lot of times, especially people who have dealt with trauma, they become very disconnected to what's happening in their body. So they may not even realize that they're experiencing stress because it's become normalized to them. So HeartMath helps you start to relearn that, re-communicate with your body in that way, but then also start to reprogram the stress response. And people have amazing, amazing results with it. Less anxiety, less depression, better sleep, emotional regulation. So we're not flying off the handle or overreacting at things. Not that any of us do any of that, right? So those two technologies are incredibly helpful in that transformation process out of trauma. And then, you know, and then I use a whole bunch of techniques, you know, whether it is other neuroscience-based techniques, whether it's yogic techniques, breath techniques with what is called pranayama, the yogic art of breath, all different kinds of techniques to help people start to reprogram their body, reprogram their mind. One of the things I do that I do want to mention, because this is a really important part of trauma, are I work with subconscious reprogramming. And so our subconscious has such a role to play with our trauma. And so we get the majority of our subconscious beliefs up to age 7. So from the third trimester of pregnancy, when we are still in vitro, up to age 7, we get the most, you know, most of our programming then subconsciously. And these are things like, you know, how do I look at myself? How do I view the world? How do I view other people? It's as if you have a new laptop and you need to install it with programs, right?
Yeah.
They estimate that about 70% of our programming is limiting, negative, right? Oh, holding us back. And if we've experienced trauma in childhood, it's very ingrained in how we live life. And 95% of our decisions, our actions, our responses come from the subconscious mind, not the conscious mind, right? So this subconscious reprogramming is so important. And if after 7, you experience a traumatic event, a highly emotionally charged event, that can imprint new subconscious beliefs, like myself and, you know, the belief after cancer that I couldn't trust my body to be strong. I really didn't. I had a fear. I couldn't trust it. And yes, I knew it consciously, but it was much deeper than that. And so I use a method called Psych-K, which is subconscious reprogramming, that helps us start to go through and figure out what are some of the subconscious beliefs that are in there and shift them to what we want, right? So even the belief of, I can heal myself, right? If there's the belief that you can't heal yourself deep down inside, it's going to be hard to make any traction. But if we can start to shift some of those beliefs, you can even use it to shift the perception of trauma, not the memory of it, of course, but that emotional charge connected to it. So that's another amazing tool that really helps people shift from a trauma state into wellness.
Beautiful, that. Wow. And I can already imagine the benefits that that would have, because you're right. A lot of the time, it's our limiting beliefs that are holding us back in life, in progressing in healthy relationships and, you know, in progressing in a healthy body and healthy mind. It's because we just don't feel like we deserve it.
Yeah. And even if it's so frustrating for people when consciously we want it and we consciously don't understand why we're challenged in this area of our life, whatever it might be, health, money, romance, work, right? But it just, we keep hitting that wall and it just doesn't seem to work. And it's coming, you know, working with the conscious mind, you only get so far. Really, you only get 5%. That's about as much traction as you can make. You have to work on a deeper subconscious level to reprogram beliefs. And Dr. Bruce Lipton, who wrote The Biology of Belief, he's a famous author around the world. He is the father of the field of epigenetics. And so historically, people believed that we were victims to our genes. So if I had the gene for cancer, that meant I was going to get cancer. There was nothing I could do. I was going to get it, right? What Dr. Lipton did and the field of epigenetics is scientifically, they proved that it's not that you have the gene, it's does the gene express itself? And that will determine if you get cancer. And what causes the expression of a gene? Subconscious beliefs and your lifestyle are two of the biggest factors. So if you subconsciously believe you're going to get cancer because, let's say, your grandmother had cancer, then you potentially will, right? That's what controls it. And what's amazing about that, this information allows us to take the reins, to empower us to realize that we really are in control of creating our health, of creating our reality, of creating the life that we want.
Absolutely. So it's not only nutrition, a lot of it is a mindset and it's a self-talk and, you know, our beliefs about ourselves, which is why, you know, I always say when it comes to belief work and value work, it's so important during anyone's healing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the big things when I work with cancer survivors is helping them shift into a wellness mindset. Because that, you are right. I mean, that is at the core of so much of how we move through life. And it can completely make the difference of one outcome versus the other outcome in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'd be great now that we're obviously talking more about the cancer. You've got a program that you're writing.
Yes. Yeah, I'm almost done actually, wow. Which is amazing. I'm actually in beta test mode as we speak, which is for cancer survivors. So it's a 10-week program that helps move cancer survivors into a place of wellness. And it's a reprogramming, really. Wow. So we look at things like reprogramming your relationship with your body, reprogramming your environment. It's reprogramming the mind for a wellness mindset, reprogramming your stress response and your nervous system. And I pull in all the amazing technology that I use, which I can do from anywhere. So I do this virtually with people as well as in person if they're local. But it really is, you know, what I found on my journey to heal from cancer was that I was working so hard, doing so many things. And it was as if I just needed to be reprogrammed on that deeper level. Wow. And that's where I got stuck. And so what this program is to reprogram, help just people that. Just that, to reprogram into a healthier way of operating, a healthier Lovely. Relationship with their body, with their mind.
Oh, wow.
It's really transformational.
That is. So will that be done on a one-to-one basis?
Yeah, so it'll be one-to-one. So I meet with people every other week throughout the program. We hop on Zoom. And then in between, there's modules that they complete online that have reading assignments and journaling assignments and all of the above. And it really moves them through this beautiful transformation process. And of course, having been, you know, having had a cancer journey, I share my own tips. I'm 19 years cancer-free at this point.
Excellent.
So a lot of tips and wisdom as to how I created longevity. And, you know, at one point in the program, I talk about how it was as if one day, you know, you don't realize your hair has gotten so long and you need a haircut, but it was as if one day that energy of cancer, whatever that meant to me, was gone. I was no longer the cancer survivor, the cancer patient. I was no longer, and it was as if it had literally just gone. Yeah. So I love to do that because I want to inspire people. I want to give them hope that they can see that it is very possible to move into a state of wellness and that there's some really amazing tools and technology to help us and somebody to guide them. Because I think another really challenging part after trauma is, how do you move about the journey to wellness? Where do you even begin? And doing it on your own. And I know that I spent a lot more time and a lot more money and resources and energy than I needed to because I didn't have somebody guiding me. Yeah. And that's really what I serve to do, is to help guide people through their process.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I was going to ask, you know, what have you got planned for the future? But I suppose this is going to keep you busy now.
Yes, for right now, this is what's on the docket. But there's always... Now, the next thing I'm going to work on planning is retreats for this year. So I've done retreats
in the
past, but retreats for probably later in 2022, you know, where people can come and with like-minded people. And, you know, when like-minded people get together and they're there for a common goal of healing and elevation, it just literally brings everybody up and do some amazing work, potentially with horses again, energy work, different reprogramming work, just a reset. So they're really amazing experiences.
Oh, wow. That sounds exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I love a good retreat.
I know, me too.
Yeah. So where can my listeners find you?
Absolutely. So my website is www.warriorheartwisdom.com. And my Instagram is Jen, J-E-N-N, Miller, Warrior Heart. So Jen Miller, Warrior Heart is my Instagram. And I do just want to touch on that concept really quickly because it's so integral to what I do. And, you know, in ancient teachings, the warrior was not one who went out and fought. The warrior was one who was brave. Mm-hmm. And there's in the teaching of the Shambhala teachings, they talk about warriorship as somebody who is seeking an enlightened life experience, whether it be an enlightened health, great health, just an enlightened life experience. And so that warrior heart wisdom is us tapping into our own wisdom, the wisdom of our heart. We tap into that warrior spirit to move through this transition, right? This transformation into a more elevated, healthier way to live life. And so that's where the warrior heart wisdom comes from.
I love that as well. It's such an empowering name for yourself. And yes. I just think it represents you tremendously. So yeah. And again, I can imagine that came to you from the universe somewhere.
It did. I did this meditative healing journey. And I was at the point where I needed to come up with a name. And of course, you know, when you're actively trying and your conscious mind is trying to control the process, you get nowhere. And so when I had let go and I said, all right, I'm just not even going to think about it, of course, right? It came to me. It just popped up and it was, you know, I call myself a cancer warrior. And really that's just indicating that spirit, that choosing yourself, that never, ever giving up on your own journey, on your own personal transformation, on your own health, on your own happiness. At moments, it might feel overwhelming or challenging. And that's where you really tap into that warrior spirit that's inside of you.
Oh, that is beautiful. And yeah, and I just think, you know, on that note, we all have to tap into our warrior inside each and every one of us because we're warriors. We're pure souls. Yes. And it's, you know, we have to believe in ourselves and we have to believe that, you know, we're able to heal and that we're able to conquer anything that we put our hearts, souls, and minds into. So just never, ever try and think otherwise. I think, you know, that's a really important message to end this amazing talk with. And it's been such an enlightening time with you today. Thank you so much. You've shared so much knowledge and science and wow, I'm really wowed by your knowledge. And I was actually going to ask, like, you know, how have you learned all of this?
I know. Over many, many years, many trainings. I mean, I'll just list my trainings. So I'm an intuitive wellness coach, a massage therapist, a myofascial release therapist, a Reiki master, a yoga teacher, a Psych K practitioner, and a certified heart math practitioner, which is so much, right? But it's just this burning desire inside of me to understand how it all fits together and how to be able to shift it so that you can have this amazing life experience. Because I don't know about you, but that's what I believe life is supposed to be, not rainbows and sunshine every day. But as I like to say it, and having lived in Costa Rica for a few years, it's learning to surf. Right? So that you're not getting tossed around by the waves of life and feeling like life is happening to you. Mm-hmm. You feel empowered to know how to get back up on your surfboard, what waves to catch, when to paddle out, right? You really, and then life becomes this beautiful experience, even when you get knocked off your board and have to get back up. So you have these tools to really understand that and move through it in an empowered way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And again, it's all about believing in yourself, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Well, and again, thank you so much. It's been such an honor having you on, and I wish you all the best on your amazing adventures you've got coming up this year. And what I'll do is I'll add all of the links to your socials and your website so that my listeners can get hold of you. And if anyone fancies a nice retreat later on in the year, then that's for grabs as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I encourage people. I'm here to serve, to be a resource. So please do reach out, shoot me a message, shoot me an email. Absolutely.
That's perfect. Thank you. Yeah. So yeah, listeners, we hope you enjoyed this show. And again, please do get in touch with myself and or Jen if you do have any questions about anything that we've covered, because we have covered a lot. And for some of you, it's probably a bit overwhelming, of which we understand. But again, you know, please do get in touch with Jen, because I'm sure she'll be happy to explain more about the science behind
Absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing. So I shall see you all in the next episode. And in the meantime, keep fighting. Remember, you're all warriors. Stay blessed. We love you.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Victim to Victor. Subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes. And be sure to follow the podcast on socials to keep updated on what's next, and share Victim to Victor with family and friends to help grow the community and spread the positive healing energy.